What's good, y'all? We're back with the Legalish podcast. It's James
and Bianca,
and we are back this time live in living color.
For real, for real. I don't think the youngins even remember what in living color was.
Nope. But if they don't, go on YouTube and watch it. It's funny. Actually, then again, they might be offended by some of the things that are on it.
Yeah, very much so. It's kind of like how. What's that show, All in the Family? Like, when you watch it now, before it starts, it has that little disclaimer of, like, these things were really racist back in the day, but, you know, it's different times.
Oh, they actually put that on that now?
Yeah, like, at the beginning of the show, they have, like, a little disclaimer that says, like, a lot of these jokes were at a different time than now, so, you know.
It's sad that you have to have warnings for satire now.
Like, yeah.
You would think that it would be really, really clear to people that, yeah, this is making fun of these people, but I guess not now, not today.
Yeah, not at all. But we are back. Did y'all miss us? Because we definitely missed you. And y'all can go ahead and blame James as to why we haven't come back on earlier than
now. Wow.
Just throwing you under the bus.
Exactly. But yeah. We came back with something extra, so if you're listening to this in your car, like maybe you normally did back when we were recording regularly, then you're just hearing this. But if you want to see us and you're listening to this right now, you can actually watch this as a video feed. We're recording it as video now. So that's something new that we're trying in bringing this back. So, you know, we were gone for a while, but we came back with a little bit extra for you. You get to actually see us now.
Definitely. And we should probably remind the people who we are and what we do. And also if there's any newbies that are listening to us for the first time, too.
Yep. So I am James Jones, and I am a Boston-based startup attorney. I work with early and mid-stage startups and doing all of their transactional work, like starting their companies and whatever paperwork they need, contracts. Along with doing their investments and all the other stuff. And I also do a little bit of teaching at BC Law with a transactional law class and some other stuff that I do there as well.
Yeah, so can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
All right, sorry. Okay. So I'm Bianca. I am an immigration attorney and a law firm strategist. So as an attorney, I help people get green cards, citizenship, I help companies sponsor foreign workers. And as a law firm strategist, I help attorneys to start and grow their own law firms, leveraging social media marketing. Fun stuff.
Yes, and if you are a lawyer and you are looking to get into social media, she is the person to talk to. Believe me.
I mean, I do know a little thing or two about the social media, you know, not to toot my own horn or nothing, but toot. I did start my practice virtually in 2014 before it was a cool thing to do pre-pandemic. So I'm kind of one of the OGs. I know I don't look as old as I am, but
I mean, it's not like you have, you know, tens of thousands of followers on each platform and hundreds of thousands of views and likes and all that other stuff. That's just, you know, it's not like you know what you're talking about with this stuff
at all. Yeah, I just dabble in this stuff, but in all seriousness, I love marketing on social media, both as a low-cost way to get the word out about your law firm and also as an access to justice, you know, initiative. A lot of people need attorneys, but they just don't have access to them, and it's not about them not having the money to hire the attorney. It's just that they don't have an attorney near them. They don't have an attorney that speaks the same language as them. So I'm very big on having people market their law firms on social.
All right. So tonight, well, it's night now that we're recording. I don't know where it is or when it is when you're listening. But tonight we are going to be talking about some immigration stuff. Immigration, migrants, displaced people. And since this is your main area, Bianca, why don't you tell us what we need to know?
Sure. So when it comes to immigration, So first of all, our immigration laws are old AF. They have not been updated since, I want to say, September 30th, 1996. That's the last time the immigration laws were updated. We've had a lot of like executive orders and things here and there, but the actual Immigration and Nationality Act hasn't been updated since I was in elementary school.
Do you
And
mean the
so it's
federal
been,
government has been moving slowly on an issue that's important? Have
I
they ever done that
mean,
before?
I no, I think this is the first time. So the law hasn't been updated in a really long time. And one recent example that I can share where it's really kind of been a sign of the times and shown how old it is. During COVID, a lot of students who were here, a lot of immigrant students that were here on an F1 visa, they had to go to school virtually because almost every school was like, y'all can't come here in person, you have to go to school virtually. But under the law, if you're here on an F1 visa, you're not allowed to take classes virtually. So they made an exception for like that one semester. And then come, I want to say September, like fall 2020, the Trump administration was like, well, since we're doing school virtually anyway, y'all can go back to your home country. You don't have to be here. And obviously, all the schools were in an uproar because most of their income comes from international students because they pay more money than, regular like citizens or green card holders. I think like Bunker Hill Community College, I think if you're an international student going to Bunker Hill, you might be paying like $30,000 a year to go there. It's like ridiculous.
And tell me if I got this right. They're not eligible for like federal aid, like student loans or anything. So a lot of times international students literally write a check in full when they come here for their tuition and fees and everything.
So the colleges and universities were not having it, and the Trump administration was like, psych, just kidding, y'all can stay here. But just to show you how old these laws are. So every administration promises they're going to do something on immigration, and they don't do anything on immigration because it's just too much to handle. And so as usual, we have, the Republicans are constantly talking about the southern border. Mind you, immigrants come here undocumented through the northern border too. They sneak in. They're just not the black and brown immigrants that are doing so. So we give them a pass. But per usual, we're focusing on the southern border, people coming in, and states like Texas are, doing their best to not show hospitality. They're busing people from Texas to places like Massachusetts, Illinois, New York. So naturally, a lot of in Boston as well. And so a lot of these cities, these states are having what they're calling a migrant crisis, where there's just not enough room for anybody to really come here. And so since we're in Boston, we're seeing that in Boston, where there are a lot of immigrants coming into Boston, and there's just no room for them anymore. And at first, a lot of migrants, so I think my understanding is a lot of the migrants that are coming up in Boston are from Cuba and Haiti mostly. And at first, they were kind of just camped out at Boston Medical. They were kind of in the Melnia Cass area, which, if you're not familiar with Boston, there's like a little area in Boston where there's a lot of people who are homeless, on drugs, or kind of just camped out in that area. So, not necessarily the best or safest place for these migrants to go. So they're going to the emergency room at various hospitals, which obviously is not appropriate. It's not a shelter. They were going to shelters, but the shelters are also overrun. And so you have a lot of nonprofits in Boston who maybe they're not specific to covering immigration issues. Maybe they're just a homeless shelter, or they work with people that are, hungry, so they're trying to fight hunger. Now they're having to deal with immigrants and immigration issues, and they're not really equipped for that. And not only that, there's just not enough room for migrants here, really. And so there's not room in the hospitals, there's not room in the shelters. So the state has been paying for a lot of them to stay in hotels, but that's, they're running out of room there as well. And so now they're starting to go into various like rec centers throughout Boston. And earlier today, I saw a clip of a video of a black woman who was being interviewed on Fox News, of all places. And she was just really sharing her, I'll say, you know, disappointment, disagreeance. I don't really know the best word to describe how she felt, but she was just basically saying that, you know, this used to be a place for just us, and now they've kind of, you know, it's kind of now just for the migrants. And there's, you know, what about the citizens that are here? What about the Black Americans that are here that couldn't get these resources, and now these immigrants are getting it? It's not fair, and blah, blah, blah. And Fox News knew exactly what, like, what they were doing when they picked this Black woman to say what she said in that clip.
You know, always find one. They can always find one to say what they need to be said, to say, see, all the Black people feel this way.
Yeah. And it's like, as an immigration attorney, obviously I feel for immigrants. I represent them. You know, I help immigrants get legal status all the time. Am I going to be like marching in the streets with a sign that says, yes, let all immigrants come here undocumented? No. But as an immigration attorney, I do understand why immigrants do make that choice to come here undocumented. Nobody wakes up, you know, no one's going to wake up tomorrow and say, gee, I have nothing better to do with my time. Let me traipse up to America undocumented. Let me risk my life to go through this jungle and the Darien. And, you know, let me risk my life and my children's life to get on this cardboard box and hope that we make it to America. Nobody does that. The only reason why they're making those decisions is because things are really, really bad where they're living. And or America has a great, you know, tendency to go into other people's countries, mess it up, and then leave and be like, oh, my bad, I guess. Well, you're on your own now. And so there's a variety
of reasons. And then blame them when they come here saying, hey, you kind of destroyed everything, so we figured we'd come over.
Right. Like, how dare you come here seeking refuge after we just messed up your whole country, you know? So I totally understand why immigrants are coming here. And for all the people that are like, well, they should just wait in line. That line, depending on what country you're from, is, you know, 20 years, 23 years. Like last summer, we saw a lot of people from India who were like this close to being in the front of the line to be able to get a particular visa, like an EB1 visa. And then the visa bulletin changed, and now they have to wait. Some of them have to wait like another 10 years. So it's not really a fair process. So it's not as simple as get in line and wait your turn, because for a lot of those people, you're talking decades of time. And but at the same time, too, I can also understand certain, you know, Americans' viewpoint, where they might be feeling like, yo, like, we have a lot of issues, America. Like, we have, you know, people are, you know, we're drowning in student loan debt. We don't treat our veterans the way that we necessarily should. We've got roads and bridges that need to be, you know, repaired and stuff. We have all of these issues that are happening in America. And now you want to also bring more people in to care for those people when we're not even taking care of all the people that we have now. So I can totally see both sides of it as well. You know, my parents came here, you know, legally. So I am definitely pro like coming here legally, but at the same time too, I totally understand why people make the choice to come here undocumented, and I don't, you know, fault them for that.
Well, for this most recent group of people, you know, isn't it even so much that like we're seeing like the people here in Boston where, like you were talking about, they're, you know, like sleeping over on Melanie Cass, and then like now they had to shut down some community centers so that they can have a place for them to stay and everything. But even with them, like, it's, from what I understand, it's not even like they chose to come to Boston in the middle of winter, that it was more that they showed up at the southern border and the Republicans were like, you libs like it so much, ha ha, we're going to pile them all on buses and ship them over to you with nothing. Like, it's not, from what I understand, it's not like they like they crossed the border and then said, okay, now let's walk another several thousand miles in the winter freezing cold so that we can get to Boston or New York or wherever else. It's like they were shipped up here. And so I can't really understand how people who are here can get mad at the local government for not saying, oh, all you people that just got dropped off on a bus, good luck to you in the middle of winter with flip-flops and shorts and a t-shirt on, and you don't speak the language, you don't have papers, and you can't work or do anything. So, well, sorry, good luck. Hope nothing bad happens. Like, how can you be mad at the local government for giving people like the bare minimum of a helping hand to say, here's something to keep you alive for the time being. Here's some clothes, here's some food, here's a place to stay so that you're not homeless, and then we'll figure the rest out later to get you like, up and on your way and doing things. I don't get the logic of people here being mad about something like that.
I mean, definitely the governor of Texas is just something else. Like him, DeSantis, like all of them, it's like they're just the immigrants are coming and they're like, we don't want to deal, we're gonna ship them off. As if they don't actually employ immigrants, as if immigrants aren't out here being nannies to your children, working in your hotels, cleaning your houses, building your houses. Like people act like immigrants are coming here and they're not doing, they're just out here, squandering, committing all the crimes and all that stuff, and that's not what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I guess I have just a different view than maybe some other people. But like you said, also, Fox made sure to find the right person to talk to because they probably walked past 100 other people to find the one person who was willing to say what they wanted to hear to try to paint the picture that this is what everybody is saying and doing. Because I'm in a program that is at the Melnia Cass Rec Center, and we had an announcement. They sent an email out Friday or Saturday saying, hey, here's what's going on. Once we know more, we'll tell you. And then, on Sunday we were at our fitness program there. And, right before we started, it was like, hey, everyone gather around. As of tomorrow, it's going to be shut down and they're going to be having people stay here. And they're working on finding an alternative site and all this other stuff. And I can't say that there was a single person in there who was upset about it. Like, they were like, oh, this is disappointing because we like this program and we still have like 3 more weeks left of it, or 4 weeks, whatever it is. But everyone in there was like, but yeah, this is way more important. People need a place to stay. So, like, how can you be mad? Like, you might be disappointed, but like, oh man, I wish my program could keep going. But then you're like, but this program is so much less important than, a 4-year-old or a newborn freezing to death overnight trying to sleep outside. Like those are, priorities. People have priorities and they know that a temporary, inconvenience for you not being able to do your regularly scheduled program for a month or two is so much less important than someone being able to not freeze to death overnight, sleeping outside, against their will after being shipped to a location that they didn't ask to be at and probably had no clue what was going on or where they were being sent in the first place.
Absolutely. And some people have been living in at the airport. Like some people, they literally have nowhere to go. So even though, Texas, Florida, whoever is shipping them up, there's just nowhere for them to go. So they've just been staying at Logan Airport, or whatever airport they go to. In New York, it's really bad. I mean, Mayor Adams is he's a mess anyway, but
Yeah, I don't think that dude was ever actually in the city. From what I understand, he's always at a party
Yeah.
somewhere in some
Somewhere
other
not doing
state.
his job. Like he's just yeah. And so, these people I get it. Like nobody, 'cause some people will make the argument, well, nobody asked them to come here. That's not the point. We claim to be all about human rights and caring people. We lead the Human Rights Council for the United Nations, which is a joke in my opinion. We definitely should not be doing that. But I also immigration is something that's never going to change. It's not going to go away. And again, the laws have not been updated since 1996. Like we didn't even have like internet in 1990. Well, not appropriate like internet like we do
Not real
today
internet,
in
like, yeah, like
1996.
everyone actually getting online. You have to be
Right. Like
special to
we
get on
didn't
the internet
have
back then.
Yeah, and so our laws are just like so antiquated, and people are going to still continue to come here regardless of the administration. Immigration did not really stop when Trump was in office. Immigrants still came here undocumented when Trump was in office. He said that he wanted to deport all of the immigrants or as many immigrants as he, could possibly deport. He wanted, because his thing was to compete against Obama. Obama was deporter in chief. At that time, nobody had deported as many immigrants as the Obama administration did. So Trump wanted to, I guess, beat that, except that he couldn't because he didn't, he kind of froze immigration budgets, so we didn't have enough judges. You can't just go around rounding people up and throwing them on a plane and sending them back. We kind of have something called due process. They have to go through court. We didn't have enough judges. We didn't have enough people to process immigration applications and stuff. So a lot of the, like puffing his chest of I'm gonna deport all the people. Logistically, couldn't have it. You couldn't make it happen because we didn't have enough of the budget. My fear is that if Trump is reelected in November, which I fear is going to happen, but that's a conversation for another day. I think he's just going to pick up from where he left off. Maybe, maybe the people would have kind of done like a post-mortem on the Trump administration, part one, to see where they, where their flaws were or whatever. And maybe they will correct the budget to allow for hiring more judges to kind of deport more people. I'm not really sure, but while we have these immigrants here, they are assimilating, they are learning English, they're not all out here committing crimes because the majority of immigrants that come here, like statistics have shown that when you have immigrants living in your community, it actually makes your community better and safer. These people would not just risk their lives going through what they have to come through to make it here just to be out here committing crimes. They want to work here, they want to make money to send home to their, families back home. They're not coming here to be as violent as America or the right would have you believe they are. Meanwhile, and it's also hypocritical for us to be talking about how violent the immigrants are as if America is not violent on its own. We have a mass shooting every other day. We got a whole bunch of just white people out here doing bad things, but sure, let's blame the immigrants.
I mean, right. It's like, do you really think that someone would spend a month and a half walking day and night, thousands of miles, just so that they could show up here to rob a liquor store or something? Like, does that make any sense? Like, you could do that literally anywhere. They could have done that in their own country. Why would they risk their entire lives and that of their entire families? And all the time and effort and energy and struggle it takes so that they can show up here to rob somebody or whatever other nonsense people say.
Exactly. The math ain't mathing on that, but a lot of the
Nope.
math does not math from what they have to say. But I mean, I like I said, not to borrow a phrase from Trump, but I can see both sides. And I definitely I sympathize for people that are here already feeling like, their wants and needs are just being set aside to meet the needs of the migrants. I can totally sympathize for that. I don't think that's entirely fair. But also, I can understand that a lot of these people didn't know what they were getting themselves into. I know of some immigrants who came here thinking America was going to be amazing, and they were like, you know what, this is ghetto. I'm going back to my home country. I know someone, a friend of my mom's actually, she was a nurse in Haiti for a really well-known hospital that is in partnership with a hospital in Massachusetts, and she came here to visit her family. While she was here, they announced TPS for Haiti. So she figured, well, I'll just apply for TPS for Haiti and I will just, I'll just stay here. And so she did that and she thought, okay, well, I'm a nurse. Let me just go work for the US branch of my company. And they were like, that's not how this works. Like, you're a nurse in Haiti, but you can't just be a nurse in Haiti or anywhere else and just come here and be a nurse. So she was kind of limited to what she could do for work, which severely limited her income. Her income was greatly reduced between what she was making here versus what she was making as a nurse. And she was like, nah, this is not what I signed up for. I'm gonna go back home where the weather is better and the views are better and all that stuff. So she went back. And that's what people need to understand about immigrants. Immigrants are people who, at least for my clients, a lot of my clients were doctors, lawyers, engineers. Nurses in their home country, but they can't just come from India and be a nurse here or come from wherever they're from to be a doctor here, they have to literally start all over again. And that's something that my American ass would not be trying to do. Like, I'm not trying to go and imagine we had to do law school all over again.
Right.
And take the bar all over again. Like, no, I'm not doing it.
Or I'll college go start an OnlyFans. And then law school all over again.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing it. I'll go start an OnlyFans or something. I'm never going back to law school or school at all. Like, I think I'm all schooled out. I think I have enough degrees to last a lifetime. But these immigrants do that every single day. They come here. They are cab drivers. They're your Uber drivers. They're doing things that are, like, quote unquote, beneath them, considering the level of education and skill that they have. But they just can't waltz into America and be a doctor. And despite that, they still start over and they still be doing better than y'all.
Well, on that note,
like, can you imagine if immigrants could come here? Imagine immigrants could come here and literally from day one, they could just hit the ground running and, you know, they could be a doctor like they were back in Iran or whatever. Y'all would be so mad.
Even madder than current mad?
Yeah.
Well, that's the situation that we have now.
Yeah.
So
but I could talk about this stuff all day. This is like my Captain America. I could do this all day.
Well, we did want to hit the people with a shorter episode to get everyone back into the swing of things. So, you know, I think that it's good that we now know what's going on with the situation involving the most recent situation with migrants coming into the country and being shipped and bussed around like cattle. And, you know, how all anyone is trying to do right now is trying to help them to get through the most basic and immediate survival level and then, you know, take it from there. So everyone who is upset about what's going on, I know things might be hard for you, but take a step back because they're a whole lot harder for somebody else right now. And it's okay to help somebody who's doing worse than you for a moment, and then you can be back on the center stage again.
Definitely.
So that's my view on things, whether you agree or not.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. But obviously I'm super passionate about this stuff, but I just gotta remind people that, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to start another tangent.
Well, let's leave it there then. Let's tell the people where they can find us.
So I am Brazen Lawyer everywhere. I am spending a lot of time these days on Threads and LinkedIn. I love Threads. I know you don't like Threads.
Nope.
But this might be a generational thing too, because like you're older than me. So
I'm like a year older than you.
You're definitely like 7 years older. You're a whole generation older than me. So I feel like because you're still on Twitter or X, whatever. And I'm on Threads. So maybe the younger, cooler people like Threads. And then the older people, y'all can keep Twitter.
Wow. The old people. Okay.
Because who's even on Twitter these days?
Everybody.
I don't know.
People.
I don't know.
Didn't nobody leave. Everyone said they were leaving. And then they were like, well, I'm just actually going to pay for the verification thing instead.
No, I didn't
do that, but.
Yeah. But I like Threads. Like, Threads is pretty cool. I like it. I like the little community. I mean, I've had to block, like, 5 people so far, but, because they were given Twitter energy, and we don't play that over here, but I like Threads.
So I might try it again. There. Who knows?
Yeah. So you can find me over there.
Yep, and you can find me at pretty much everywhere as Boston Startup Lawyer, except for Twitter, where I'm lost for words. And that's it.
Why don't you just change your name to Boston Startup
on Twitter? Oh, I can't because it's one character longer than you're allowed to have a username. Yeah. So it's not taken, but it's not taken because you can't actually type all the letters out. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, well.
You can have it on Threads, though.
I think I do.
See. All the more reason why you should just give up Twitter.
Oh, well. Well, people, it was good talking to you. And then you can say it was good seeing us. We can't see you, but you can see us now.
Yeah.
And we'll be back again a whole lot sooner than a year and a half, like last time.
Yeah, definitely. But definitely reach out to us. Happy Black History Month and leap year. Woo woo. An extra day of all this Black excellence.
Yep. And we'll be back again with another episode soon.
Later.
Later, y'all. Oh, there it goes.